IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadili and you are now listening to the program Viewpoints. Joining us in the studio today is our two guest speakers, Brother Alawiyan, Brother Ali Alawiyan and Brother Habib. Our topic today is going to be an interesting one. And I hope we can get lots of different viewpoints and good discussions that we may all benefit from. And here's one question for you.
Yeah.
If we have a believer, a Muslim brother, mm-hmm. he knows there's a hereafter, mm-hmm. but he still, for many reasons, commits suicide.
Okay.
What happens to him then? Does he go to hell or does he perhaps go to heaven?
Look, the ruling was said by respected Sheikh that whoever commits suicide, actually, his reasoning will not be accepted based on what we have understood from hadith and Islamic, let's say, teachings.
No matter the reasoning, just and, on the lines.
Yeah.
Brother Habib, any comments?
I want to connect this topic with the words that my brother stated with the second focal point that we wanted to talk about, and that is the moral aspect of it. And that is with the saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same chapter that I stated in Musa al-Shia, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam states that the mu'min, the believer, gets affected, gets hurt with every adversary, with every bala, right? Every catastrophe, but he does not kill himself.
Mm. Right, because of his faith.
But he does not kill himself because of his faith. So at the end of the day, like how you stated, my brother, that it's a bala. It's a punishment. It's not a punishment. Sorry. It might be a punishment.
It might be a punishment.
It might be a punishment. Some adversaries are punishment. It's a bala. It's a test. It's an exam. It's an adversary. It's a catastrophe. It's pain.
Right.
It's agony. Right?
But it is a test. We shouldn't forget that.
At the same time, it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in this. The Shia school of thought emphasizes a lot on the fact that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim, that every power and every will is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Removing it, placing it, who knows? If, like how you stated, with supplication, it might be that the person will remain alive, right? Because the term that we used when they define it, that they are certain that this person is going to die.
Ad-da'ya raddu al-qada wa la ubrima ibram.
Ahsant. And that's available in Al-Kafi, right? First chapter. And so at the end of the day, like
Sheikh,
how
you reminded me, Ayatollah, Ayatollah Khuy.
Oh, Sayyidi Khuy.
Whatever hadith or riwayah or ayah was saying, said, yes, Kafi, chapter 3.
Yeah. It's important. It's important.
Yeah.
It's important.
When a verse of Quran said, yes, Surah Isra, verse number
100. It's important
100.
To know where they are. At the end of the day, you're a Muslim. You committed your sin. So your question whether he will enter hell or not is the same as the question, this person committed adultery. Will he enter hell or not? The sayings of Allah, the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salams and the Quran states that without intercession, shafa'a, without tawbah, repentance, that the muqtadi is there. The reason or the main cause of entering hell is there. But at the end of the day, it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ghafoor rahim.
Of
Allah
course,
subhanahu wa ta'ala
brother,
is all merciful and forgiving.
Everything is in the hands of Allah. But we cannot then start to philosophize and start thinking what will happen in the hereafter. So let's stick
that's
to
true.
This
That's
world.
Why it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu
right,
wa ta'ala.
Right.
That's why we're saying we cannot say that this person, because, you know, at the end of the day, let's speak Hauzawi people. All of us are Hauzawi right here. When you're missionaries, this question was asked to Moses in the Quran. Pharaoh and the people of Pharaoh told him, all right, so you're telling us that we're wrong, which means our fathers are wrong. And if our fathers are wrong, that means where are they? They're not up there. They might be, they're in, you know, in pain and punishment right now.
Right.
So what did he say, Musa? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. It's been written down in his books. It's not to my knowledge. It's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must always put this in the heads of people, that at the end of the day, forgiveness and punishing is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have no right to treat this person as a person that is going to go enter hell right away, especially
right.
if he was a Muslim. Speaking in this manner.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So that's my defense.
Very, well, very beautiful. I want to ask a question from those who actually are defending such an idea.
defending the idea of
euthanasia.
Right.
I want to ask them this question that, okay, you do your best to say and to beautify this term or this, they call it, a solution. Have you ever seen a person who has been at the verge of death, on the verge of death, but he got revived again?
Right.
Every one of us have witnessed such thing, right?
Yeah.
We have plenty of the case. So how can we prove that in case this person stays, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will not be in reviving him to life again?
So why do you kill him? Why do you hurry and kill him?
Yeah, why do you hurry and kill him?
Taking away his chance to...
For survival, resurrect.
There is a possibility. Right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another chance to many. And we have witnessed I have seen a documentary that plenty of people came and talked about their experiences of going to the barzakh and coming back.
Rather than one question for you, what if we have like a team of doctors, which is normally the case in a hospital, deciding the case of a patient, and they say, yeah, no hope.
They did that with my brother. Mm-hmm. They did that with my brother.
So Janagas is going to finish the question, then you can answer. They say no hope, no way, just go and bury him.
Okay. Well, I want to ask a question in front of your question. Are the doctors more knowledgeable than the God?
Right, right.
Have you ever heard it from the God himself to tell you, okay, no hope? But you say the doctors, the knowledge and the science of the doctors have is not greater than knowledge of Allah.
And let's just go to Brother Habib, because I sense a very interesting story.
Yeah, my brother actually was on the verge of, passing away when he was an infant, actually.
Because of the
alhamdulillah wa shukr that, of course, my mother told me on that night she was in the hospital beside him and she was praying the entire night and crying the entire night. Because my brother has a problem with his blood cells to this day. He always has to eat liver.
God help him. I hate liver.
he has a problem with his blood cells. And he had a problem with his own liver. And he was an infant at the time. And the doctors were saying that he has no hope at all. And two doctors, and two of the best doctors in the United States, in California, in Los Angeles, in Long Beach, right? And at the time, they were saying that there is no hope. And alhamdulillah wa shukr.
Right.
He's still walking and he owes me money.
Right.
And alhamdulillah, the beautiful witness was here alive in the studio.
Then I have a question because, of
course... May Allah prolong his life, Taman.
Right. God inshallah. Protect him. May he increase even more.
His lifespan, inshallah ta'ala.
Just a question. I am, for example, a doctor and I'm in a Western country. I'm a Muslim. I'm a believer. And I have a patient who is very sick and his family comes to me. They say, no dice, just like... Let him die. Give him some euthanasia. Let him die. What can I do? Because I cannot refuse, perhaps, in the hospital that I'm working in, and I may be forced to administer the euthanasia.
As a doctor?
As a doctor. Mm-hmm. What happens to me if I do this? Brother Ali?
Go ahead.
If the brother is a duty bound and he cares for whatever Islam says, he has no right to do this action.
But he's forced.
Even if he's forced,
he's the sole provider of his family of four children. He's a single father.
La darar wa la taqiyya fi dima. There is no force and there is no taqiyya, hiding or when it comes down to killing people and saving one's life. And it's a very vast topic available in the fiqh books.
Right. Very true.
Got it. So that's also your answer.
Very true. So he is not allowed to do it in any by any condition.
Right. Just another question for Brother Habib, because you yourself mentioned the topic of suicide. So at the end of the day, is there a difference between euthanasia and suicide, or is it the same thing?
I think personally, culture to this day sees them as one. I don't think that they see them as two. Right? They just see this one that has causes and reasons that are more rational than the other. That's the only difference. Because I've tried to see people who try to rationalize with suicide, the normal suicide that we hear about, unfortunately. It's very unfortunate. It's a very sensitive topic. It's a topic that we have that goes back to depression, which we have a lot about.
But unfortunately, it is not spoken of too much.
It's available a lot, especially in the sayings of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, which unfortunately isn't spoken a lot about. And the way that your purpose in life, what you view yourself, what you know about yourself, is one of the primary bases for defeating, let's say, this war with depression. But at the end of the day, people to this day, they see them both of them as suicide, and that is why that some countries ban it. And it becomes news that this country accepted this new law that you can do this action.
Right.
So it's one.
It's a suicide.
It's suicide at the end of the day. It's no taking question. Your own life.
Yeah, very true. Just one more sentence to the explanations of Sheikh. It is, they have actually found a new way to beautify this suicide action. Right. Yeah, to make it more rational, to sound more rational, to tell, okay, right. No, this person is under pressure, he or she is suffering from pain, and you cannot understand how much the pain is great.
Yeah.
So they want to actually, through this reasoning, actually persuade you to accept such a wrong action. But anyhow, this is exactly the suicide itself.
Right. So at the end of the day, we know that suicide comes back to depression, right? People are depressed, they commit suicide. Well, what can we, as Muslims, as preachers, as you said, Hawzawiyin, as persons who are starting in the seminary, can do to these people who are suffering from depression?
First of all, we have to remove the depression from ourselves.
Isn't that the problem? We suffer from depression ourselves.
If you're sick yourself, you cannot heal others. It's unlikely when the doctor is sick with the blood sugar.
Brother, I didn't want to say you were depressed. I just asked.
It's important because when you say missionaries, we're generalizing it. Unfortunately, it goes back to the fact of the environment that we are living in. Just the way that we are living, the culture that we're living right now, and the way that it has affected us, all of it plays a role. People have lost their tone, they have lost that beauty in the human being. And therefore, they want this, they want that, they want this, they want that. They lose the main purpose of life.
Brother, I agree with you, but not all people who suffer from depression think or feel the same way. Like, you can find a brother who are, for example, rich people, they have everything, but still they suffer from depression.
I was going into that.
Right.
Yeah, I was going into that right now.
Right.
There's this thing, the main thing about life and having a reason to live, what drives you to wake up every morning, is to have a purpose in life. Some people see their purpose in life as winning a trophy. And when they win it, they feel empty. Because that's not the true purpose of life.
So their purpose,
they realize
in life,
that's right. Not their goal, and that's why we have many athletes and celebrities. Whenever they reach the peak of performances and they gain their awards and they get their awards, they start to think about committing suicide because they feel the emptiness. That all right, we achieved it. What next? So you have to know the true purpose of life. And I think that Muslims are blessed with this fact, that we understand our purpose in life. Our purpose in life is to reach the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, therefore entering heaven.
So to summarize your point, brother, people who get the sense purpose of life grounded in worldly affairs, they get depression.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Brother Ali Alawiyan, as a final comment on this,
Look, if the person who is suffering from depression is Muslim, so I think the solution and the suggestions are quite clear. We can't remind that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّا بِذِكْرَ تَتْمَأْنُ الْقُلُوبِ. You see, when they remind the greatness of Allah, the purification that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmah that comes, or the blessings that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it naturally goes towards this stability of soul and this tranquility. And we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again in Quran, no one can get depressed and hopeless from Allah's mercy except those who are among the infidels. So believing and trusting the blessings of God again is one way to remove depression.
And with that, we will unfortunately have to end today's program because we are out of time. I thank Brother Ali Alawiyan for his valuable input. I also thank the Brother Habib for discussing us and joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And with that, I also thank the listeners for tuning in, and fi amanillah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you. To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong and right. A world that often lies, 'cause I don't need